Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I upload a show once a week, once every 2 weeks, but lately there's been a lot of kickboxing, so it's been once a week. So I upload something every week to it. And the other way of watching or listening to my podcast in the most efficient way is to go to the iTunes search engine, enter Warman Kickfighting Show, or enter Lord Gaul, which was my username back when I fell in love with the sport, when I was on the forums, K1 USA, Kakatugi, K1 fans, etc., etc. So, a lot of kickboxing to talk about today, some Muay Thai to talk about today. Going to go ahead and first start off with the big news that just emerged in the last couple of days. Tiffany Von Soest, who is the most recognizable star for the Lion Fight brand. I think that there are other stars who they've been promoting and pushing, but I think Tiffany Von Soest is the most recognizable, I'd say, of the, especially for the ones in the United States. She's a girl who was pretty much brought up in the promotion. She had fight opportunities before that, but she became their champion, and she's the one who is consistently fighting world-class opposition. So she's going against, there are some names here and there that aren't world-class, but if you look at, you know, Denise Kilholtz, you look at the fact that she, I mean, not, she didn't fight her for the brand, but she fought Denise Kilholtz, Kaylee Reese. You look at her overall resume has, you know, some solid wins and some step-up bouts, and she's really one of the true U.S. talents that can compete in an international level. But all that aside, she is the girl that was pushed most by the brand. I do not think that they would be a women's division had it not been for her. And when Cyborg came around, I don't think that we'd be talking about Urena Bars had it not been for Cyborg. I just think that, you know, not that they weren't all skilled on their own, but it's about your platform. It's about your exposure. It's about what gets you out there. And what gets these athletes these opportunities to compete is the brand pushing them, seeing something more in them, seeing them as someone that can cross over. So Tiffany, along with, you know, her, how she excelled in the, you know, in the ring, how she's excelled, you know, as an athlete, she's also promoted the brand extremely well. She had opportunities to leave Lion Fight and go into MMA earlier. She'd been working with Duke Rufus, and, you know, now she's preparing to at least do both MMA and Muay Thai, but she committed to Muay Thai and trying to help it get better. She then sends out a Twitter post that said she is selling her belt because when she fought, you know, a month and a half ago for the Lion Fight brand, she wasn't paid for it. So she said that she was selling one of the belts for $500. This blows my mind. Now, again, I don't know what Lion Fight's, what happened on their end of it. I don't know if things got lost in translation, check app came up missing. I don't know if it's just, you know, a mere simple mistake that they hadn't, you know, followed up on. I do know this. The first thing I thought to blame when I heard this news was the commission, because in all of my experience, and I've cornered people all over the world and all over the country, if you have a commission, the commission's number one, one of the main functions they're going to do is the moment you get out, win, lose, or draw. Some of these guys are, you know, KO losses, some of them KO victories, some of them, you know, injuries or whatever. You're going to be there and someone's going to come up from the commission. And they're going to be with another individual, or they will themselves have it. They're going to have your pay. And they're going to have you sign off on something saying that you got paid, as to confirm that they completed their job correctly. And then they're going to give you your check. It's something that's taken care of the moment you leave. So you leave, you go in the back, you're usually talking to the doctor, and here they come. They come up to you and they find you quickly. To think that that didn't happen to Tiffany Von Soest, a champion, someone that you would have, she was up on the cards four rounds, so they knew she was coming and they knew she was winning. So I don't know what her contract situation is. I don't know if she gets a win bonus in the way the UFC does things. Maybe she just gets a straight up check. Either or, the idea is she showed up to compete and win, and she is supposed to get a purse for it. And if the promotion missed this and the mistake was made, or if it was deliberate, or if they're out of money, I don't know what that case is. All I know is they ran another show the following month, so I didn't know what their financial situation is. Again, this could be misunderstanding, so I don't want to go too crazy. I do want to say it can't happen. It's the thing that killed K1. in its height. I won't say it's in its height. It was still consistent, but it wasn't in its height when K1 went away. But the thing that people started saying, you know, your Go Kawasaki's, your Errol Zimmerman's, your Ray Sefo's, they were starting to say that they were missing checks. Now, I don't side with every one of those situations where people were saying they were missing checks. Some people were getting checks for the event, but they weren't getting an overall check for just being with the brand. Just something dumb that K1 did. I have no idea why they would do that. If somebody wants to fight for another organization, let them do it. There's no reason for you guys to be signing exclusive anythings. But they got to commit to what they did. They signed up. They said they're going to pay whatever individual for staying. They're going to give them a base pay, and then they're going to pay them for their rights to compete. If that's what they committed to, then that's what they got to fulfill. But as long as the athlete's at least getting paid for what they do, we can go ahead and figure out the rest of that money. But if somebody shows up and they put their life on the line, which is what happens in combat sports, you got to get them paid. Tiffany Von Soest has probably, I can't imagine anybody has competed even half as many times as she has for a Lion Fight. As I go through it in my head, I think she might have double the amount of television appearances than anybody else that they have for the brand. To think that their lead star missed a check, it just blows my mind. So Lion Fight, you got to get on that. I'm not going to use this podcast to just jump on you and rip you up for not paying your athlete. I'm going to go ahead and give you the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, maybe I don't know why that check came up missing. Maybe it accidentally got sent to one of her people, or maybe it got lost or whatever. I'm not going to jump on it. But all I know is the moment that that was posted, you guys should have contacted Tiffany Von Soest immediately and got her money to her immediately, and then said, this was, you know, apologies. Tiffany's was right. We did not get this taken care of. We missed it, lost in translation, say whatever. Even if you were like, you know what, I'm trying to negotiate with Tiffany, we're going to give her this and more money down the road if we can get her to re-sign or whatever. That can't happen either. You guys got to give her her pay, then you can do that negotiation. But literally, Tiffany Von Soest, a top 10 fighter in the planet, she has got to be paid immediately, or else the trickle down effect gets to everybody. And the next thing you know, your brand's in trouble. I just a week ago, I put out a write. It's my first time I've written for Liver Kick in quite some time. And I'm talking about how kickboxing now is the time. There's more opportunities for kickboxing than ever before. Kickboxing and Muay Thai, television opportunities. I'm going to talk about Yakao here in a second. We really are in a good spot. This spot is ruined if people aren't getting paychecks. So Glory, make sure you know you're taking care of it. Make sure all these K1, all these brands out here, make sure you guys are paying your athletes. Because what happened to Tiffany Von Soest, it's unacceptable. There is no argument for it. You got to make sure your athletes get paid. Going to go ahead and talk about Glory. Glory 28 went down in Paris, and I will go ahead and break the card down. It was an awesome card. The last fight was a good fight. At least there wasn't a, you know, weird moment or whatever, because they've been cursed with bad scorecards and injuries and a fighter walked out, and they've had a pretty bad run of things. But this card, top to bottom, we knew it looked good on paper, and it was good in actuality. Let's go ahead and walk through the card. We'll go from the bottom up. First things first, Eddie Nguyen Somani made me look really smart as he gets a decision over Maykal York. The activity was there, and, you know, I thought York would be able to match him with kickboxing for moments, and he was only able to do it for a small sample size of activity. But for 2.5 rounds, I would say it was clearly Eddie Nate Slimani scoring effectively. He had his length, his combination of low kick flow was okay. It was sporadic, but he used it at the right time. Plus, York wasn't able to come back and sustain effective offense in return. You know, York is a guy who, I crack the joke sometimes, I say that some of those guys who go to work with Hemmers and so on, that's what gets them the glory opportunities. But in the end, once they're there, they got to figure out a way to win. And York actually, got a win in the first round of the Amsterdam tournament. I was like, you at least justify yourself being there with that one W. Eddie on the opposite. He's getting an opportunity to go against a guy who they want to keep York around, hopefully move him down the road. Brazil is a good place that Glory would like to go to one time. Slimani wasn't having it. He was the better kickboxer overall. He really showed some good skill sets. I'm excited to see more from this kid down the road. Hopefully he can get maybe one more single fight before the year's over with and then get into a four-man tournament. But Nate Slimani did a good job of getting a victory to start the card off in. Plus, you got France on the board. You definitely, if you're going to have a card in your hometown, you want to see, I'm not sure if that's his hometown, but if it's in his home country, you want to see that your French audience has come out and they've observed and seen a successful outing from a home country athlete. They don't want to just see a whole bunch of blowouts on behalf of, you know, the West, you know. But this was a good win for Eddie. He'll move forward. As for Yerk, he's just one of those guys where he'll probably get the opportunity because, you know, he goes to Hembrich Brazil and so on, whatever. Keeps competing. He doesn't. It's not like I'm looking at a guy who doesn't belong. I think that he can be in some pretty entertaining fights and get some pretty good victories. He was just beaten by a better man, and that weight class is getting stronger all the time. So keep an eye out on Slimani and how they use him moving forward. Next fight on the card, Josh Johnsey puts on an absolute kickboxing clinic against Jahan Tak, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Johan just seemed like he can throw. I mean, he's got a little bit of crack. I mean, I think they might have overstated it a little bit in the commentary. He could punch a little bit, but him and Josh Johnsey were just two different animals. Josh Johnsey's kickboxing flow, he didn't even pick up the pace necessarily. He just played with well-timed offense. He countered well. His head movement was good. His step-up knees were beautiful. He his ability to kickbox against elite guys is showing up more and more all the time. And Johan was not an elite guy, so it was a clear, one-sided, you know, showcase for Johnsey, who he is an exceptional athlete in kickboxing. I mean, this guy, there's video of him doing, you know, all kinds of, you know, flips and, you know, capoeira. And he's just, he is a crazy running and jumping and you know, fast twitch muscles. Josh Johnsey is a exceptional athlete in kickboxing. We're lucky to have him. He is wired himself for run and kickboxing. Now, is he doing MMA? I'm not sure how much training he's been focusing in that area. All I know is every time I see him post anything, every time I see anything from his brother or from him, you know, on social media, it's about his preparation with Andy Sauer and so on to be an exception in the kickboxing world. And that's what we need. If anybody lines up orthodox next to him, I'm expecting him to get to his combination of low kick flow pretty easy. He's a talent. He really is. He's the most special talent out of North America, I'd say probably since early Shane Campbell. And I'd say his skill set's better than Shane Campbell. You know, it's not that, you know, Shane's doing the MMA thing right now, but I look at Johnsey. When Campbell came up, he's very good. He's long. He knew how to use offense effectively. He went internationally, had a couple victories. He had some, you know, some defeats, some solid defeats. I look at Josh Johnsey's skill set internationally, and I say he's going to be up there. He's going to be top five fighter in the world. He's that kind of skilled. He just needs the opportunity. So hopefully, you know, he can keep getting opportunities to compete outside of just the Glory brand to keep pushing him forward as an athlete. But he seems to be all in on making this kickboxing run. Johan took the fight on a few days' notice, so we got to mention that. He was stopped, you know, due to a cut or broken nose. But one thing that you got to give Tak credit for, they should have let him fight that third round. He didn't do any of the things that, and I've been around fighting forever, guys do things in the corner when they don't want to go back out there. You got in there the first time. It's scary. It calls a lot of you to be brave enough to face your fear and see how good you are in this sport. So shout out to anybody. I don't care what you did performance-wise. If you were able to stand there long enough for the fight to start, you get my respect because it's tough to climb in those ropes. And even if you didn't give yourself the opportunity to perform the way you wanted to just get there and get in means a lot. We have a guy who came in, had some wins, looking excited about the Glory opportunity, was clearly getting bested by Josh Johnsey. But when they went back to the between the rounds and they're looking at his nose, nothing in him looked like he didn't want to go back out there. He was ready to fight. And even I worried about his corner. It almost seemed like his corner was like, you've had enough. He was like, I'm ready to go. He's still throwing back. He never stopped trying. He just wasn't good enough. So shout out to Johan Tak. Your skill level isn't there, especially with a Josh Johnson yet. Keep working. You got okay KO pops. See if you can get your kickboxing flow. And maybe they give you an opportunity down the road, a fight with another person who lost in this card, Anatoly Moiseev. That wouldn't be a bad idea. But man, Josh Johnson's going to be something. So shout out to both competitors. Good stuff. I was definitely wrong about this. Well, one of the most exciting fights on the card, if not the most exciting. Jason Wilnes versus Philip Verlinden. Jason Wilnes comes out with a strong, strong combination low kick game. Like, when I say strong combination low kick game, what I mean is this. There's a way of playing with combination and low kicks with just fast hands. So you play with it where you just kind of do like a distraction type 1-2-3. And then you drop the low kick big. And then there's a way of playing it strong where everything you throw has got heat on it and you're just relying on when you throw your hook hand, it's going to, at minimum, knock them off balance enough for you to score the big low kick on the end. So you can play it fast. You can play it with heavy hands. Jason Wilnes, he's always looking to crack a little bit. He scores well against guys at you know, the middleweight weight class. He's just some his KO pop, even though it looks like he's trying hard, doesn't necessarily do the biggest damage. But he was tagging Philip Verlinden. His kickboxing looked wonderful for round one. Then comes round two. Philip Verlinden gets the boxing going, gets the step up knees going. Wilnes had looked tired because he used so much energy throwing that heat in round one. But Verlinden came back, looked awesome in round two. For me, I had one round apiece going into the third frame. Third frame, it's like that second round was what Jason needed to catch his breath. He comes out again, strong combinations, changes his hand flow together. He was throwing fives and sixes because he's trying to get enough volume to sneak in his bigger shots. And he just stayed with the volume, stayed with it, go to the cards. I believe two cards had him 30-27, which I do disagree with. At least one card had 30-27, and then two 29-28. 29-28 is how I had it in favor of Jason Wilnes. Philip Verlinden's, it's a weird case because I can see he has the skill set. Sometimes I worry he doesn't have the response and looking for his opportunity to get scores off the board. Sometimes I think he can be inactive. When he lets his hands go, I think that he can score offense consistently. It's just his kickboxing flow wasn't enough for as aggressive as Jason Wilnes brought it. He won this fight in every shape or form. He really, really brought it. So shout out to Jason Wilnes. Next fight in the card is another fight that I was wrong about. And the way that I thought Philip Verlinden would be able to get enough volume, savvy movement, and kickboxing to get over Jason Wilnes. Jason Wilnes' aggression, toughness, would be able to close the gap, was able to close the gap, score big combinations upstairs and down, flowing to his combination or to his combo to kick flow well. And the way that I was wrong about that, I was also wrong about Mossab Amrani's approach to Zahir Adamczyk's first title defense. Adamczyk wins a 5-round decision. But the thing that made it strange to me was when Mossab came out in the tournament, it wasn't that he blew, you know, his opponents away, you know, because he goes out there and he KOs Chabin Lim. And he goes out there and he, you know, same thing, you know, with body rips, playing upstairs, playing downstairs, gets Jerk to KO with a body kick after really hurting him downstairs with the hands to the body. It was that full kickboxing break approach of I'm going to beat you up in your body, in, you know, with big shots upstairs, with, you know, low kicks sometimes, mixing it all up. That made me think Mossab Amrani is going to come out here with a combination of kick flow and he's going to be ready to go. Mossab Amrani came out and tried to win by KO for a round and a half of a 5-round fight. Zahir Adamczyk, at minimum, is good at being savvy, staying behind his defense, keeping a good tight guard up, grabbing at the right time. And Mossab Amrani had pretty much spent himself after a round and a half. Some people gave him round one. I can't remember if I gave him round one or not. I think I did. I think I had the final score 49-46. I can't remember exactly. But I do know that Adamczyk got it going. And if he was more of a KO type of guy, like he was the kind of guy that looks for those kind of shots to stop people, if that was his style, I think that he could have really dropped Mossab Amrani. I think he could have got him out of there. He scored 2 downs in the round. He had a big knee over in the corner in the 5th round when Mossab Amrani was just absolutely done, like out on his feet. He has sometimes Mossab's body language kills him on the cards. For example, for those who've seen the Muhammad Kamal or Moody Kamal, whoever you talk to, if you saw that fight with him and Mossab Amrani, it's one of the great kickboxing fights, one of the top 3 kickboxing fights in the last 20 years. You watch this fight, and I'll say 15 years. You watch this fight, and the thing that you notice is sometimes when Amiron, he gets hit and he gets tired, his hands go down. He's got this lackadaisical approach while the other guy's still throwing heat, and it makes it look bad for him on the scorecards because after he gets hit with a few shots, he grabs. So here, Adamczyk could hit him with so many straight left hands, so many big hooks over the top, good combination flow, hit him to the body. He just drained him, and then he was able to sneak in some well-timed knees here and there. He scored it down, I want to say, in the third. Fourth round, he's beating Musab up. Musab cannot get back into the fight. Round five, I think, is where, like I said before, he got him into the corner, and he timed this really, really big-time knee. The knee scored, dropped Amirani into the turnbuckle, and he didn't, like, go down. Glory, we were talking about it on Twitter for those who are watching it. They don't have a standing eight rule. But I swear, like three or four times on the card, they called what would be perceived as standing eights. In this case, Musab looked like he went down, gloves never touched, fell into the corner. So if they're going to say the turnbuckle held him up, and that's why they called it a standing eight, I'm fine with that. But the thing that needs to be most focused on was, see here, Adamczyk brought that heat. Like, he really built on his offense. He was, you know, with the Varga fight, it was a hold fest. So people jumped on him for holding because Varga kept bringing that forward pressure, and there was a lot of grappling, and it wasn't what people wanted to see. This time, there was very little grappling. It was him scoring with his pinpoint shots, playing the distance, really focusing on full body attack combination low kick game. He plays with that somewhat, but a lot of times he just boxes, sidesteps, looks for clean offense with the hands, and in this fight, he built on it. And as he had Musab going backwards, he chained something together, and he finished with a knee, and then they'd be in the turnbuckle. And then he just keep working until he strike, get into the ropes, small break, hold on him a little bit, take from his gas tank, separation, back to work. Put something in the body when you guys get into that clinch spot again. Look for those little spots. So the few times, and again, compared to the Varga fight, this fight was pretty much clinch-free. But when they did go to the clinch, I thought Adamczyk had done good offense before those moments. And then I thought that he had scored clean, big shots in space. Clear victory for Sahir Adamczyk. They need to have a four-man tournament for his next fight, because we need someone that we know. And I still think that even though he is the champion of this featherweight weight class, I believe that the K1 brand has better athletes at this weight class. With Glunder, with they brought in Blade before, I don't know if they're going to do it again, but with them, Masaki Nori, with the Kufertex, I believe that they've got the better stable at this weight class. But there's still a lot of really good fighters and competitors out there at this, you know, weight class. So featherweight, Sahir Adamczyk is your glory champion. Still your glory champion. Next fight, co-headliner of the undercard, Xavier Vinny gets a unanimous decision over Freddie Camacho. Fun fight. Vinny came out and he throws his hands. He's letting his hands go right away. From the opening bell, Vinny took the fight as if this is another step up guy in the way that I just went against Sam. And when he went against Sam, he got up early on the cards, and then Sam came back with the low kicks in the third round. But he still said, hey, these are the elite fighters in the world. I'm one of the guys from the States, like Tiffany Van Soest, going against the elite on an international level. He's being groomed into it the right way. You don't just have him. I remember when he won the tournament after the USA tournament. That wouldn't have been a good idea to give him a title shot then. No way. He wasn't ready. He needs to get wins like this. And after he gets these wins, then he'll have the confidence to go against Rico Verhoeven. Not that he's not confident in his skills, but he's got to see the improvement that he's doing against a certain level of guy who's fought at the highest level, you know, fought at the for the highest organizations. Sam fought for Glory. Camacho fought for Glory and for K1 and for everybody. Freddie Camacho is just a you know, consummate kickboxing, you know, journeyman, always there. But Vinny is testing himself the right way. Crowd got there. It was an awesome slugfest. Vinny really got up on the cards because of his volume. He scored some good hard shots, scored some step-up knees here and there. Didn't kick as much this fight. Freddie Camacho, he scored some kicks, but really he kept timing big overhooks, overhand shots, big overhooks, big overhand rights. I describe them as overhooks. I've heard that before. It's just when you play with your hook angle and the elbow gets a little bit higher, meaning you're kind of treating it more as a, instead of coming sharp straight across, you're taking it more of a axe type angle. I've heard that described as a overhook. If you're hearing that, you're like, oh, overhook, like in grappling. That's not what I mean. So I'll just call it high hooks for the purpose of this. Shooting his hooks over the top, shooting his right hand over the top. He's really good about finding his range in that and scoring that effectively. This was a great fight for Xavier Vigne because it's the kind of resistance he needs to feel. Because in the third round, this time in the third round, I thought that he had much more activity, thought that he scored extremely well, as opposed to just getting low kicked as he did with Sam. Another ex-K1/Glory guy on Xavier Vigne's plate. He gets a victory here. They're doing a heavyweight tournament next month. I wouldn't mind if they don't use him on that. Instead, use him when they come back to the States. Maybe they give him another guy like who they've been moving him against and just keep getting him better. And then I'd say towards the end of the year, then you put him in a four-man heavyweight tournament to get himself into title contention. But these are the kind of guys that he needs to fight right now. He's being moved the right way. Shout out to his corner and his team. Shout out to Glory for not feeling like they had to rush this guy out there, because that's something kickboxing has a history of, putting him out there before they're ready. So you look at what's happening to Justin Jacoby now. He's starting to turn it around, and the product that, you know, because he won that four-man tournament. Then after that, they just started using him all the time when he needed some time. And now that he had the time to get himself better, gave him the right kind of fights, he looks like he can make a better run at being one of the top guys. It just, he needed some time with it. Musasi, another person in kickboxing history who, you know, because he was a young, up and, you know, coming fighter who looked like he's going to be, you know, the takeover for Satake, he got pushed in there against elite guys really, really early because Japan always got a K-1 slot because, of course, the TV. So they always got a K-1 slot on there. So when he was pushed into that opportunity and he, you know, ended up getting stopped a lot of times, sometimes it slows your development, and then took him a little bit. And then down the road, 2002, 2003, Musasi had some of his best years. Xavier Vigne is being moved in a way where he's avoiding those kind of the Jacoby, the Musasi. He's avoiding that because he's being moved the right way and he's being given the right type of opponent so that when he gets to the top, he's going to be there. So it's just something that it's so important that people see it, experience it, and know it. So shout out to Xavier Vigne and his team. Good win there. Freddie Camejo, a veteran guy. Use him on any card. Use him to develop anybody. Use him to get some wins. Use him to get some fan base in France. Has gloves, will travel, will fight. I love me some Freddie Camejo. Final fight on the Glory Series card. Artem Vakhadov gets... it was a split decision the first time. It was all Vakhadov this time as he takes out Saulo Cavallari. Saulo Cavallari maybe had the first round. I actually think I gave every round to Artem Vakhadov. But Vakhadov not only was he able to score kickboxing flow, Cavallari's technique kind of went away. Some of his strikes were a little bit weird, a little bit wide. His kicks weren't with the best balance. Artem Vakhadov brought that heat. Both stance, landing effective offense, angles, defense. The way he gets into his spinning techniques, they come so gradual out of his regular boxing offense, which is the main thing that he scores. He scores boxing from both hands. He just has a feel for it. He is the guy who I say is a legit light heavyweight title holder in the world. I want to see what it looks like when he fights Gokhan Saki, because I really think that his skill set and movement, how does it look against the guy who also can move but really has that KO crack that Saki has? It's a fun fight to make. Saulo Cavallari is a great fighter. You know, I'll go ahead and say that I throw great out there too much. I'll say he's a really good fighter who has the opportunity to be champion again if he can get the volume up and get himself into combination and low kick flow. But this fight, Vakhadov got him hurt with low kicks early that slowed him and built on the offense. I'd wonder why Vakhadov didn't go back to the low kicks. He instead had focused on the body rips that were scoring so big that maybe three or four times in a fight, Saulo Cavallari would just retreat back to the ropes and buy himself some time thanks to a big body rip from Artem Vakhadov. It was a complete kickboxing performance. I'm hoping that at some period of time, Glory goes to Russia so that he can fight in front of his fan base. He's a talent. They're going to have to probably put a four-man tournament together for him, too. They're going to have to sign more light heavyweights. They just don't have enough guys right now. There's some talented people out there, but they could have more. They need a stable of at least 20, and they got to keep these guys rolling. They're doing a show every month. Now, UFC does shows like two times a month or whatever. So for kickboxing, I think we're doing good for them to have this amount of television. But those undercards have really got to be used extremely well. And they need to bring in the next guy to fight Artem Vakhodov. That's why he's on this, you know, instead of on the main card, him and Saul Cavallari, even though they had a really entertaining fight the first time around, this is where they are relegated to because they haven't had TV opportunities. And the next guy, the next fighter that goes against them, doesn't have that recognizable name yet. So this has got to be done a little bit different. But shout out to Artem Vakhodov and his team. Great win. We go to the main card. Let's go ahead and go through the tournament. Sitichai, another dominant win over Zavik Kiria. This time, Kiria wasn't stopped. It's just one of those things where it's like, I kept saying, I wonder why they made this fight. Because Kiria just, he gave it a go for about a minute and a half where he tried to land effective offense off of game plan. And just Sitichai just too much, too slick with that left hand, that body kick, those step up knees are the real killers. Then all of a sudden, Zavik Kiria has given up and he starts doing his jumping, spinning stuff. And, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe I'm too critical of it. Maybe I see this as a guy who is, he mentally cashes out and he starts doing spinning kicks and stuff like that out of frustration. Maybe what it is him trying to collect himself, you know, calm down a little bit. Maybe he's frustrated. Maybe he needs a break from all the pressure. And maybe it's just a strategic thing to just do it. I get a brief moment where I've got to get myself up off the mat and I'll go back to work. Maybe that's how he's playing it. All I know is, as far as its effect towards winning fights, Sitichai is not moved by the fact that you're missing jumping spinning kicks against him. He was able to get another one-sided dominant kickboxing performance, good step-up knees, good combination flow, you know, for his hands into his knees, his power kicks and singles. His combination flow usually consists of two, maybe three strikes max, and he hides a knee or a kick to the body or to the leg in there. Sitichai is legit. It's mostly boxing that he's been winning, beating people with. Murat Grigoryan gets a victory over Anatoly Moiseev. I thought Moiseev was going to pull off this upset. Just Grigoryan just brought that heat. I thought Moiseev fought okay. I thought that he was tough, but just the pressure. Grigoryan, that's what he's known for. Him and his brother, they had that style. They've had it since they were 19, 18 years old. You know, training with Somers down there, one of the better female coaches in the Muay Thai and boxing game in Belgium. I think they've been relocated, both of them. I think they're in Belgium sometimes. I think a lot of the times they're at Hemmer's Gym now. But the pressure that he was bringing to this fight, my goodness. He just, not just pressure, but pressure with the right type of selective offense where he was scoring to the body the right way, just the combination flow that he puts together. It's just, you do so much work to get away from him and then to try to score offense to keep you off of him, which you don't realize is all he's doing is walking forward and blocking. You're doing all the work. That's what he did to Anatoly Moiseev. My favorite thing was anytime Murat Grigoryan tried to build on it, he'd scored a couple knockdowns in the fight. Again, both off of body shots. Every time he tried to build on it, Anatoly Moiseev fought back. Like he bit down at his mouthpiece and said, let's go. Combinations, spinning still. His spinning hook kick comes right out of his flow of offense. It's just, you might as well think about it in terms of 1-2-3 low kick. He'll play 1-2-3-2, and then it'll just kind of spin right out of it. Like he can play with it so quickly. The way Murat Grigoryan plays defense with his guard, he's behind high gloves anyways. So if you play that, all he does is grab his own ear, and then he's going to block it, and he'll be right back to work. Great job defensively with pressure with Murat Grigoryan. Moiseev, I regret nothing. You are still an awesome fighter. You're going to be something. You're just a younger guy who needs more experience going against high-level kickboxers. Murat got you this time. You know, and again, when I talk about younger fighters, I brought this up on Twitter. I'll go ahead and clarify. When I mean by young fighters, I don't necessarily mean young in age. I mean young in the sport. So Andy Risty was young in the sport. He was like 27 years old when Andy Risty really started making his run. So when he won the title, when he had that great year and that great night where he gets KO wins over Robin van Roosmalen and Georgia Petrosian, still one of the more incredible kickboxing feats in the last 15 years for him to stop those two guys. But when I look at his run, he was an older guy in his early 30s, but I saw him as a young up-and-coming fighter in kickboxing because he wasn't a name that we knew before. He worked his way up, got that big victory. I look at this situation and I say, Anatoly Moiseev, no shame here. I look at you like I looked at once upon a time a Artur Kashenko. Got good work in. One day you're going to be something. You needed to go against this level of guy. No shame in this loss. And before I move on, this is what kickboxing is. Once upon a time, a 20-year-old Stefan Leko had to go against Ernesto Hoost. When Stefan Leko got a little bit older, a 20-year-old Badr Hari went against him. Roman Bonjasky had his first step-up fight. You know, when you're in that 20, you're winning, you're regional champion, maybe even world champion, depending upon what promotion, what country you're in or whatever. And then you go against your first legit guy. And even if you lose it, it tells you something about yourself. Anatoly Moiseev, that's what I think happened to you. Murat Grigoryan, you're the truth. Murat Grigoryan then goes out there and puts on a very spirited effort against Sitichai. I thought this one was going to go to an extra frame. I got no problem with Sitichai winning this one. I thought he was able to land a lot of overhand lefts, clean straight lefts. Murat Grigoryan brought the right kind of pace and pressure. He just gave up on the idea that he'd ever be able to just score with, you know, single shots, which is right. And he just did it with pressure and volume and just throwing his hands and working and working and working. He tried his best, but I just thought the precision, the accuracy of the shots, for me, was the difference from Sitichai. I thought he landed a lot of clean straight left hands. Just the combination flow, a lot of step-up knees that he was able to run Murat into because of Murat's pressure. I thought that any time he was hit, he hit back. I just thought that it was a solid outing. I really thought the card was really a lot of fun. And that win by Sitichai moves him into that, you know, that fight with Robin van Roosmalen. And shout out to Robin van Roosmalen for being like, let's do it again. Sitichai getting another opportunity to go into this tournament and fight Robin van Roosmalen surprised me. Because in truth, he doesn't have the style that they want. They much prefer a Murat Grigoryan, Robin van Roosmalen type of, you know, style, because that could produce the kind of fight where it's like two combination low kick killers going at it for 20, you know, for five rounds, 15 minutes. That's ideally what they're looking for, as opposed to one guy playing that game, then holding and clinching and scoring knees and single kicks. I was surprised that they gave him another opportunity. Sitichai did, and I still think that he's focusing on being more towards their style, landing his boxing really staying away from the clinch and preferring to score with clean, quick, you know, shots with his left hand, power 3-2s. I've liked what he's done as a kickboxer, and I liked him before he's a kickboxer. The success he's having isn't a surprise to anybody, and I'm glad that Glory didn't say, okay, we gave you your shot, Ty, we're not going to bring you back, because K1 did that. K1 had Yosin Klai on the stable. They used him. He beat Kamel Al-Amrani, and who was the old Super League champ. After that, they got Bukau. They decided, we're not going to have two of you guys running around here, and they decided to stay with Bukau, which actually worked out really well for them. And then, you know, Yosin Klai was able to find success down the road in other promotions. But ideally, I look at that, and I look at Sitichai, and I'm like, they could have cut you loose. They decided to keep you on, and Robin van Roosmalen is ready to fight you again and prove that he beat you fair. Despite how anybody feels about that first fight card, you got to admit, it's awesome that Roosmalen is down to do it again. Next fight on the card we're going to talk about is Cedric Dumbe getting the biggest win of his life in an upset victory over Mirko Grunhardt. Again, this is one of those situations where it's, as a Frenchman, you know, he had a huge, you know, audience there to back him. You know, they kept going to the crowd. You could see he had a lot of family and stuff there. He gets the biggest win of his life in front of that family. This fight was won for Cedric Dombey the week leading up to the fight. It was won before the fight even started. He got into Myrtle's head, mentally started, you know, going after him, you know, cursing and looking their weigh-in pictures. Like, he made it, you've got to win by KO. So Myrtle went out there and tried to win by KO. Whereas when Cedric went out and looked for offense, he didn't look for KO at all. He just looked for scoring a series of offense here. Hands that led with the body kick, then into a clinch. A couple of body shots from a distance, a couple boxing from, you know, boxing opportunities from a distance, straight kicks from the distance, into the clinch. Myrtle loading up on all of his shots, trying to kill him with every shot. Like just, there was a weird moment where there was like a low blow or something in the fight, and Myrtle got up and like he's trying to get back in. He's like trying to push the ref. It wasn't a clean fight. It was not a technical fight. It just showed that Dombe really, really wanted to play more of a tactical, get points on the board game. Mirko Grunhardt was like loaded up, trying to kill him with every shot. It's one of those things where Mirko was like, man, when I went out there and I fought Nicky, I was under control and I was kickboxing and I was scoring my points. I didn't come out there with that today. And I think that's the reason why he wasn't successful in this outing. Moving forward, what do we do? Well, Cedric Dombe is in a good position. He wants to fight Nicky Holtzkin. He respectfully called him out, really excited about it. The crowd got behind it. Nicky Holtzkin, they put him on camera. He said, back of the line, Murtho. It's so funny. It's weird because I believe he keeps saying back in the line, and it's just the same thing that we'd have for back of the line here in the States. But, like, Nicky was there. He was stood up, respected Dombe for his, you know, for calling him out, whatever. But he's got, of course, an opportunity against Kangulo next month, so he's going to try to get that victory there. And then Dombe, either Dombe's got to win a four-man tournament, because, again, this is his first elite win. He lost to Kangulo, who's fighting for the title. He's going to have to get more fights. But calling, getting a main card spot and calling somebody out, that usually gets you a title shot, in particular because they don't have a lot of athletes that are saying things that are notable to get their names out there. So shout out to Cedric Dombe getting this win. Murtho Grinart, you're still very talented. You're going to keep getting fights. You're going to keep getting opportunities to stop people. And then eventually a four-man tournament, you'll be in it, and then you might work. You know, I can see you working yourself back to another shot at Nicky Holtzkin. Final fight on the card we're going to talk about is the champ, Rico Verhaeven, with a clear cut. I gave him every round. 50-45 victory over Mladen Brustovic. Brustovic isn't bad. He has a really, I mean, Rico had to be very disciplined with his right hand because that left high kick from Mladen Brustovic comes so fast and it shoots up there. And if you didn't have your guard up, you're done. And I thought Mladen had a few opportunities where he'd throw some boxing. He just didn't have enough. Like he was good in spots. He just didn't have enough. Rico, much better technically, working inside low kick game first, then working with his boxing. He, you know, of course, he likes to go the inside of both legs. He likes to score a lot of knees. When he falls into the clinch, he'll like attack the legs with the knees. Boxing looked good. I thought he looked better in the earlier rounds for sure. I think it was the third round where he finally attacked the back, the rear leg on the outside. It's something that I mentioned in the lead up, you know, to when I was doing the preview of the show. I was like, man, Mladen has a history of being susceptible to low kicks back there. And that's how Benjamin Adebuyi got him out of there. Kept attacking that leg. Rico really went after it. I want to say it was in the third. And it was clear that Brustovic was hurt. And then Rico abandoned it. And when he abandoned it, Brustovic had some brief moments in the early fourth round. But again, it still became a Rico round. Rico was disappointed in himself after the fight. And wanted a more killer decision. But he's fighting the best guys in the world. He's getting his hands raised. He's only lost to the one time against Kuzmichek, I believe. I know I'm butchering his name. He only lost the one time to him in January of last year. Clearly, I know the glory rankings with it is Kuzmichek. Yes, it's Kuzmichek. Okay, Andre Kuzmichek. That's the only loss Rico has had, and I think they said in like 3 years. So, shout out to Verhaeven. Now, again, I don't know why the commentary thinks it's such a bad loss and they can't bring it up. Kuzmichek getting into that four-man tournament because they got one more spot for the Copenhagen. That would be cool. But he's still a very, very awesome competitor, good fighter. No shame that Rico lost to that guy. But Rico had a lot of things going on then. Baby coming, needed the finances, didn't know that Glory was going to have an opportunity for him the following month. He took that fight in China, took the money. After that, he got himself back to business, beating guys, stopping guys. This was a good win for him moving forward. If they want to do Jafar Wilnis straight up, I would have taken it. But right now, it's looking like they're putting a four-man tournament together. They have not picked the final spot in that. But the winner of that one has got to be a no-brainer for who you're going to use for the next fight, I should say, for Rico Verhaeven, because that one, Ishmael Lant, who was signed, they announced that he was signed. So you got Wilnis, you got Anderson Broderick Silva, you got Ishmael Lant. Ishmael Lant would be cool if he can get through the tournament because he's a lot of fun. His entrance is one of the coolest entrances in all of kickboxing. They're putting it together nicely. We just need that one more name to go in the field. And whoever the winner of that is, I'm hoping it's someone new, someone that Rico hasn't fought before. I'll take Ishmael Lant. I'll take, whoever I'm looking for, just for about that different than what we've seen since he's been in Glory. So I definitely want to focus on that. But really, I've enjoyed the kickboxing offering from Glory. It really was a fun card. 6 hours, I just sat there 6 hours, whatever it was, 5.5 hours, whatever. And I just enjoyed all the fights, enjoyed doing Twitter. We had a decent amount of people commenting on the fights. And the fact that it was on a Saturday afternoon for me and an evening show for the people in, you know, Europe, it worked out really well. And it was a lot of fun on Twitter. And I really enjoyed it. So shout out to Glory. Good stuff. And we'll be looking forward to you and your Copenhagen card next month. Because you're doing your thing. You are continuing to roll these fight cards out. Your last card before this was 2 weeks ago, and your next card is going to be in a month. You're doing it. You're putting the kickboxing cards out there, and for the most part, that we hear people are getting paid, which is vital. So the Bellator brand has announced some of the fights. I won't break them down, but Mustafa Haida versus Krim Gotchi is an awesome fight. Awesome fight to put on. Excited about that one. Melvin Manhoff going against Alexander Negrea. I think that's more of a Melvin Manhoff type of performance. I think he's going to do his work there. Raymond Daniels getting amateur standout Francesco Marica. And then we also have another one with Kevin Ross getting Matteo Ciccini. These guys are... I'm familiar with some of them. They don't have the experience I was looking for. It's interesting that they decided to go with Italians here. It's an Italian card. I'm surprised that they used them for these bouts. They've got some experienced guys in Muay Thai around the weights, so I was surprised that they went with these fighters. But we'll see what comes from it down the road. But we like seeing that Kevin Ross has got a kickboxing bout and Raymond Daniels and... It should be interesting. I'm looking forward to when that card comes out. It's the same day as the Glory card. I think they might be at different times, but it's the same day as the Glory card. I'm curious to see how this breaks down. It should just, for me, it should be fun. I like fights, so the more opportunities, the better. But I'm looking forward to, in particular, with Denise Kielholz. If she can get a victory, it'll be good because, again, she's got the look. She's got the crossover look. She's also very attractive with being very talented. I definitely want to see how that card goes. Kun Loon's got a pretty big card coming up this weekend. Bukal's back in action. Who else we got? Some other notable names for you guys. Victor Nagami seems like he fights in, you know, like every 2 weeks in China. So he's doing his work. Artem Pashporin, he's also another guy that they use. Albert Krauss is going to be fighting out there against Lou Minsky. That's a guy that I've mentioned on this podcast before. So, you know, they're a TV show. So they just keep pumping out the fight. So definitely good stuff there. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up by talking about the Yacau fight card. It's really, really stacked. And, you know, the undercards, I can't get into it because they've got some local guys, but they've been playing on the 18. They have some England versus France for at least one of the fight cards for the Amy Perny versus Fanny Ramos. That should be interesting. The Solomon Wicksteed versus Jake Purdy fight. That should be fun. Ben Hodge versus Christian Bea. Not as into that one. It's a solid fight, but I'm not as into it as I am for the headliner of this card. The rematch, Jordan Watson versus Sonny Dalback. You can see how dedicated Watson is to this. He went to Thailand for some training. Sonny Dalback's been in Thailand for quite some time. He goes to Switzerland sometime, but I think he's really based out of Thailand a lot now. First fight was awesome. Jordan Watson got some good offense going, got the low kicks going. Sonny Dalback got his combinations, his slick scores going, got the body kick in there. A knee got Watson in trouble. Sonny Dalback was able to close the show in that round. We love Watson. We love Dalback, young stars. They'll be doing kickboxing later. I think Watson's already been announced for doing Glory. I can't remember if that's 100%, but ideally, these are the athletes that you want kickboxing, pushing the sport forward. Very talented young men. Should be an awesome battle. I'm leaning towards Watson after Dalback was able to outpoint him and get the decision in the first one. Yacau 17, as you see, it's always 18-17. Yacau 17, it's got some interesting battles on it. It doesn't have as many notable names as we've had before. The Juan Cervantes versus Danny Edwards fight should be good. Dale Hughes, Dale Murray. But the two fights to really pay attention to, Manichai versus Luke Turner. Luke Turner is a Bad Company fighter who's a talented young kid, and he's a guy who fell in love with Thailand Full. I met him when I went to Bad Company Gym, what was it, a few years ago? I can't remember when I went. It's like 3 years ago now. I'm old. But when I went out there and I visited their gym, he was there. And, of course, they call it college. They call it university. Yeah, they call it uni. And he's going there, and he's taking Thai as a language. And I think that that's what he majored in. I think he majored in Asian studies. So he's pursued this sport full. He went out to Thailand, lived out there for about, I think he was there for like a year and 3 months. And I think he won a regional title in the middle of nowhere, of Thailand. But it's a great experience. He's challenged himself against fighters before. Manichai is going to be from the Kyle Sanchai gym. He's going to be a guy who works with doesn't know how it rubs off on him, but Manichai is going to be a guy who's been working with Sanchai, and it should be fun to see how Luke does in this fight. And then, of course, the big one, Liam Harrison versus Tatsuya Yamada. The things that Tatsuya Yamada was able to land in Kevin Ross, those sneaky leap elbows and stuff like that, it's really tough to get that on Liam Harrison. Liam Harrison's very strong. I expect him to win in the grapple a lot, get his low kick game going very, very early. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was a low kick stoppage or if the low kicks led to something big upstairs scoring. But between the low kicks, between his clinch work and the dumps, I think Liam Harrison is going to win your 65kg world title for Yakao. I was a little surprised at how that goes. I didn't know if, when I saw that he's fighting for the 65kg world title, it made me wonder about Pecorn, but I don't know if he's got a different title or whatnot. All I know is this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for this card, and I'm hoping that you guys can get the opportunity to get a hold of these kickboxing and Muay Thai events. This one's going to be full rules Muay Thai. This Yukao fight's going down in, I don't know the exact town in England. Hold on. Let's see if I have it here. It's in Bolton. Got it. So it's in Bolton in England. So if you're in that area, head on down to Bolton. Definitely support the stand-up fighting, support Muay Thai. And it's England. England, you guys have done a great job of supporting boxers, Muay Thai fighters, kickboxers for a very long time. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast show. I'll be back next week. I think I'm going to probably try to get a guest next week. So thank you very much, and I'll do my best to get these results to you, and hopefully it'll be all good. God bless everybody. I love you all. Thank you for being a fan of the kickfighting sports with me. Peace.